Welcome to No Longer Conformed. We're studying the book of 2 Corinthians, God's Messengers. In this session, we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 to 18, boldness of God's messengers. You remember the events of Acts chapter 3 and 4. It begins in the new church with there being a regular time of prayers, regular times of prayer at the temple. And at the time of prayer, Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray. And as they entered the gates, at the beautiful gate, they saw a man who was lame, who was asking for alms. You remember Peter stopped, looked at the man, said, "What I have no gold, no silver, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he rose up and walked and then went into the temple, and there was excitement everywhere, and other religious leaders came and just wanted to shut everything down because they were concerned about what was happening. But they noticed something about these new Christians. They noticed something about particularly the leaders like Peter and John. And in Acts chapter 4, beginning with verse 13, going down to verse 20, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do with these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name.' And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.'" This is one of my favorite passages about the early church. Where does that kind of boldness come from anyway? Well, look back to our text for this session in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. There's three things that result in that kind of boldness. Three things. It's a God-given ability, a God-given message, and a God-given glory. First of all, boldness results from a God-given ability. Look at verse 4 down to the beginning of verse 6. "And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant." To trust. Being persuaded or being confident. And we have to possess, to hold in the hands. The apostle is saying that he has a confidence to speak out boldly for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he explained the source both negatively and positively. Our sufficiency doesn't come from ourselves. We're not adequate for that task. It's not because of us, not how great we are. It's not how educated or how trained we are. Our sufficiency comes from God. He is completely adequate for any task. The first part of verse 6, "who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant." We often feel inadequate for the ministry that we seek to accomplish. That's good. Over in chapter 12, in verse 9, the Apostle Paul said that when he prayed for God to heal him, and he prayed three times that God would heal him of a problem that he had physically. And in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Boldness to share the gospel is the result of God-given ability by His grace. It's not because of what we are able to muster up. Second, boldness results from a God-given message. Look at the second part of verse 6 down to verse 11. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. We have a glorious message, more glorious than the message of Moses, the message of the law and the Ten Commandments. And this is amazing, because Moses reflected such glory. Exodus chapter 34, verse 29. Now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hands, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. And then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with them. What makes the new message more glorious than the old? Well, just compare it. The old was the letter of the law. The new is the Spirit of God. The old was the message that kills. The new brings life. The old brought guilt. The new brings righteousness. The old was written on stone. The new on human hearts. The old produced fading glory. The new produces eternal glory. Look at verses 10 and 11 again. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what was passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. When compared to the Old Testament, when compared to the New Testament, the Old Testament has no glory. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. We can have boldness to share the gospel as a result of a God-given ability and because of a glorious God-given message. And then third, boldness results from a God-given glory. Look at verse 12 down to verse 18. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, holding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Focus in on that verse 12 for a moment. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. We have freedom in speaking. We have unreserved words. We have openness to share. We have no need to conceal. We have total confidence. We use great boldness of speech because of hope. There is glory placed within each believer. And unlike Moses, we seek to unveil it, not cover it up. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's in you. There are three ways that we commonly veil the glory of God in our life. When there's no commitment to share. Verse 13. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. God has done a great work in our lives of His grace, and we refuse to share it. Instead, often we cover it up. We veil the glory of God in our life when there is a lack of purity. Look at the first part of verse 18 again. But we all with unveiled face behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. The only glory, listen, the only glory we have to share is reflected glory. And sin becomes a barrier between that glory and the world. And then we veil the glory of God in our lives when there is no transformation. The second part of verse 18. But we all are being transformed into the image. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are being transformed into the same image, that of the Son. And if there's no growth, there's nothing to see. Let me quickly share with you here three actions to unveil God's glory and be God's messengers. Make a commitment to share what God has done. Remember the demon-possessed man, the Gadarenes, when he was relieved of those demons by Jesus, and was then in his right mind, he wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted to share. He wanted to follow Jesus and serve with Him, but Jesus told him in Mark chapter 5 and verse 19. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had compassion on you." Make a commitment to share what God has done. Second, make a commitment to spend time with Jesus. Study His Word, pray, be in worship, learn in Bible study, and serve. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, again. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. And they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Make a commitment to spend time with Jesus. And then third, make a commitment to be transformed by the Spirit. Words, your words, your actions, your attitudes, your very motives, and even your thoughts, that they would all be transformed to no longer reflect this world, but to reflect the Lord and His Word. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are you veiling the glory of God? You have a great day.